Fantasy
for Dummies.
Hold up. This is the part where we are going to tell you that there are spoilers, cursing, potentially triggering situations, and spiciness of all levels. Don't say you weren't warned. All right, carry on. All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to episode 5 of Fantasy for Dummies. This is Brianna, the younger sister.
This is Eileen, the very loving, almost 40-year-old. So people have gotten that confused.
I don't think they've gotten it confused. What are we doing today? Sissy?
We are doing Sarah J. Maas, A Court of Mist and Fury, which is book 2 in the ACOTAR series. We already did book 1 before we went on our little dragon tangent.
Yes. You're looking at me as though I've done something wrong and I'm unsure why.
Well, you said that people weren't confused and they just thought I was 40. So there's that.
You're still cute.
The years are creeping up on me. I know. I've been cuter. I should have put my frownies on before we did this. Got an extra 2 hours before bedtime.
It's kind of like the beauty of a podcast.
When I debut my face on Instagram or TikTok, I'm going to be in my full nighttime routine.
Ooh. And are you going to do a shed? Or it's going to be like...
I'm only going to reveal my face on social media in my full nighttime routine.
That's not revealing your face, though.
Disagree.
Are you reading anything right now?
I read Onyx Storm.
Mm-hmm. At lightning speed, Rose thinks that you missed a bunch. She doesn't know how you could have read it all and not have... could have read it all so quickly.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. I probably did. I told her flat out. I read this really fast. But... I haven't seen any spoilers where I was like, wait, I missed that. So I don't think so. The problem is I read for general ideas.
I read for the vibe.
I read for the 100%. I read for the vibe.
I read for the vibe. That's a good merch.
Yes, I read for the vibe.
I read for the vibe.
Now we want to hear from all 17 of you. If you would buy shirts that say I read for the vibe.
Can I tell you though, that one of my actresses listened. She said, my favorite part is the way you both say correct.
Correct, I know.
In the same way.
That's Michaela's favorite part, too.
Yeah. It's a full sentence.
Sure is.
It's a full sentence.
The correct merch. So I read Onyx Storm. I would really like to talk more about it right now, but you didn't finish it.
No, I'm only at chapter 32. Some of us have, you know.
What do you have that I don't? Explain to me, please.
Work.
Oh, and I'm just a stay-at-home dog mom?
I don't think you're a stay-at-home dog mom. I think our work requires different levels of full awareness.
That's insulting. I woke up at 3 a.m. 2 days in a row to finish that book. What did you do?
I work until 1. I don't get home until midnight every night.
Right, but my point is I woke up and I...
And then I have to be back at work at... I dedicated
extra time of my life to read that book to make it happen because mostly I wanted to be the first one to finish it.
That don't make it seem like you were doing it for us or the podcast or me. It wasn't. It was that weird little
competition in your head
that no one else knows about.
No, everyone knows about it because I talk about it all the time.
There's only 17 people that listen to us.
In my real life, I tell people about it as well. But I'd really like to talk more about it.
We'll get to it, I promise. I'll probably finish it this week. How many chapters is it?
You think I have any fucking clue how many chapters are in a book? It's not here. You left it downstairs. I saw it on the table. You have 2 copies that you're carrying around with you?
No, you smartass. I have 1 copy I'm carrying around with me and 1 downstairs in the kitchen. You're so fucking judgy today.
Read the last page.
I'm not going to read the last page. 66, so I'm halfway there.
Yeah. Could you hurry up?
I'm trying. I'm not going to read now. You've already spent 1.5 hours on technical difficulties.
I am brimming with things to say. I am exploding. Michaela and Brody, cousin group chat, that splintered off from the OG cousin group chat, is on fire. They devoured that. No, they both, I believe, did have a day off from work. I did not have such a luxury, but... It was a roller coaster, and As someone who felt meh about the first two books, I have a lot to say about book number three. A lot
to say. Are you happy? Like, are you more on board with this series now?
I was already on board with it.
Yeah, but you were like...
I love-hated it.
Yeah. Do you now, like, love it a little bit more than
hate it now? Yes, I love more than hate it now.
From what I've read so far...
The pacing of the book was very bizarre. It was very bizarre pacing.
It is different than the first two.
It's odd. It was a very odd pacing, but the end has left me reeling.
I don't like that.
It has left me spending an exorbitant and embarrassing amount of my time as a grown woman
checking out conspiracy theories.
Are you kidding me? I finished reading it at 5 a.m. like the day after it came out. All of a sudden, it's 7:30. My coffee is cold and I'm on Reddit. I'm in a Reddit rabbit hole because no one else was awake yet that had finished the book. And I was left to an internet full of strangers who all understood the assignment. And then when people started waking up, and then there was Instagram and TikTok, and it's just been, it's been a whirlwind of, has it been a week?
It has. Tomorrow will be a week. Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. No, tomorrow's Tuesday. Yes. So yes, tomorrow will be a week. It's been a whirlwind of a week, and I still am very deep. A week later, I'm deep in it, and I don't, it's an uncomfortable feeling for me to still be so...
reeling from it?
Right. Right.
Interesting. I'm now intrigued.
The Michaela Brody group chat has not died down. It has not died down. And then Rose just finished it, so that's a whole new level. And I just, do you understand what White Girls did to get that book?
I've seen all of the Instagram videos. You were one of them, and I appreciate you for it every day.
I have never done anything whiter in my life than that.
Than be at the Target in Comac.
And Pat Trick-or-Treat asked me, because up until then, the whitest thing I'd ever been called out on was at their wedding when I had a blister on my foot from my brand new Sherpa Birkenstocks. And I was like, this is the whitest thing I've ever done. And he was like, was it whiter than the Sherpa Birkenstock blister? And I'm like, it was whiter than the Sherpa Birkenstock blister. Because... there's always a lot of white ladies in the Target parking lot, but this was a new level. This was a new level. And I'm not going to lie, I got myself Chick-fil-A. So I was eating.
You were practically in the Bible Belt now.
I was up so early, and I was like, okay, I have one pre-ordered. Like, I have one ready to pick up.
You had two. You had a regular one, okay, so you had the Target special.
Right. So I'd woken up at 3 a.m. to start reading Onyx Storm on my Kindle. And then I was like, since I'm already up, let me do this good deed and get my sister the Target special edition of Onyx Storm. And then it irked me because the website was down. So I had to get it. So I lost my first hour of reading Onyx Storm to refreshing my Target cart to get... the Target special edition of Onyx Storm. And then I thought to myself, Rose also has to have the special edition Target Onyx Storm. But because you couldn't buy, because the website was broken. It was like, Rebecca Yarros broke Target. So I just kept refreshing. And then I was like, I wonder if I'm getting kicked out because I have two Target special edition Onyx Storms in my cart. Like, maybe there's a limit. So I switched it to a regular one and to a Target one, and it didn't help. But I kept refreshing, and then finally I got it. And then I was like, how can one of them have the Target special edition and the other one will have the regular special edition? That can't be. So I was up already anyway, and I was like, well, let me just see if I could, no pressure on myself. Let me just see if I could get two. And then I was like, you're so tired. What could make this morning better? Chicken biscuit.
The things my sister sacrificed for Rose and I.
Gluten intolerances and sleep. So I roll into the Target parking lot at like 7:07 approximately. They open at 8. And I was like, there's a lot of cars here. So I have my Kindle. I'm eating my chicken biscuit. I'm sipping on my Starbucks. And I'm like,
wow, you forgot the Starbucks.
I thought it was implied. It's approximately 11 degrees outside. It is brick ice fucking cold. And I'm like looking, surveying the other cars. And it's just all white women. It's just all white women with their Kindles and their Starbucks. And I was like, this is a silent competition. Who's going to be the first one to get out and stand outside? It's not going to be me because I'm tired and I'm cold. And I already have one waiting for me. I already have the confirmation. It's at the counter. So people like slowly.
Why didn't you just do a second order?
Because it was you couldn't do it anymore. So then I was like, why did all these people not do an order? Because you needed the wherewithal at 3 a.m. to keep refreshing. And you know who had it? Me. So.
You know what? I always said my sister was stubborn. And this is a true.
So I'm like waiting in my car. And then I'm like watching some of these girls like start floating out and waiting. And I was like, we have no idea how many books are in there. It could be 4. It could be 400. Like, nobody knows. And I'm like, I'm drawing the line. I'm not standing in the cold. So I'm reading. And then, like, 7:52 comes around. And I'm like, fuck. I'm going to get on the line. So I hop out of my car.
How many people were in line before you?
Like, 20, maybe?
What?
Yeah. So I, like, hop on the end of this sea of puffer coats and Ugg boots. And I'm like...
Because it's also not just white women, it's Long Island white
right.
women.
Right, I am...
Which is like a whole... It's like, it's its own breed.
I am...
It's a subculture
but
of being a Long Island white right. woman.
So smack in the middle of this sea of white women...
That's poor.
...is a white man. And I thought to myself, and he's young, he's kind of hip looking. And I thought to myself, that someone has a really good boyfriend. Like, there's a girlfriend at home under the covers right now. And
reading
like,
her Barnes & Noble's party.
Reading her Kindle, like, waiting for her Target special edition, like, marry this man. And then, like, gates are about to open, and this man turns around and asks the person behind him, what is this line for? I was like, okay, sir, you just hopped on. He definitely rolled up, like, to get shaving cream and was like, well, there's a line. Best get on it.
Did the woman answer
him? Yeah, the girls were like, it's a book. And he was like, a what? They're like... There was a celebrity or something in there. So they were like, we're waiting for a book release. And he was like, oh, he just starts, like, dying laughing. And I was like, God bless. And like, also, like, he's young, you're all young, let's hook it up. This guy's out here, like, they definitely could have been a match made on that Target line. So they open the doors.
He thought to himself, all these fucking women are out of their minds.
Right Yes. So they open the doors and people start walking in a civilized manner, but there is a power walk situation.
Have you ever seen the rope drop? I don't know about you, but after our bachelorette Disney adventure, I was in the Disney algorithm, and it took me
months to get out.
Me too. But did you see the power walk rope drop lines?
No, but I think I lived it.
Okay.
At Target.
Correct. You did. But in Disney, you're not allowed to run.
These were probably all Disney people because there was a decorum. There was a decorum in the walk that made me nervous, but but at the Comac Target, the books are right in the front. So it was almost like a march. It was like a heavy march. And then I was like, all right, like, stay calm. You're almost 40. You already have one of these precious books, like, at the counter, like a civilized person. And then one person was like, they're on the back of the display. And I was like, okay. And then I went to the back of the display and these girls were reaching over me to get to the books.
Now,
and I was like,
you've never seen us, but we're not small people.
No. And
Sissy is 5'11 and 7'8".
And I was like, I don't want to be on YouTube. Like, I don't want to be on YouTube. I'm supposed to be at work right now. And instead I'm in this Target.
Fighting for my life.
Fighting these basic bitches for a dragon book. I am a grown woman. So I was like,
okay. Is it in that moment you realized how basic you were?
I already knew. So then I snake my hand, like, over the sea of women. And I grabbed, like, there was, like, two books left, and I got one. And I was like, suckers. And then I calmly went to buy my dry shampoo and got online. And they forgot, people had to go back. They're like, oh, my God, I forgot I came here for other things. And there was one dad, and he was a dad. He was a New Balance sneaker-wearing dad, and he had a carton of eggs, and he had two of those books. And I was like, I love you. I love everything you stand for. You were It was the daddest energy. But people, like, I saw some other places, people were like, I didn't see people with more than two. So I felt like that was appropriate because I saw in some other areas that people were like buying up like 5 and 10. There should have been a limit. But on the other end of the spectrum, some Targets like had tickets and like came outside and were like, we have 12 here. Target didn't really manage that very well. No, yeah, they kind of, it seemed like they left it up to each store to do what they wanted. But we got one. And then...
You got two.
Well, I got two. Yep, one for you, one for Rose.
Yep. I texted Rose at 6 a.m. after I woke up and saw your text message showing the order confirmation. I texted Rose, I said, look at my sister out here doing the Lord's work for us.
I love a challenge. It was fun. I felt alive again. I started my day off on an adrenaline high. And then between that and the book, it was like off to the races. But I just read it on my Kindle.
Yeah.
Well, on my iPad. My Kindle app on my iPad.
Yeah. I have Onyx Storm in 3 forms because I don't have the time to sit and read, so I audible it sometimes. I read it on my Kindle if I need it.
Sure.
Like at work, I don't bring the book down with me, but if I have a few minutes, I'll like read a little bit.
Yeah.
So I have 3 forms of the book, which is overkill and a waste, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. I wish you would finish it because I am burning up inside.
Interesting.
Burning up inside. Wow. And I will say, I don't hate Violet as much. I feel like would be a
overkill. A strong use of the word?
Like might be an overkill. I feel neutral about her.
Okay.
I feel neutral about her. Maybe I'll read it again and see, like, maybe she, like, tipped to the other side. I feel much better.
One step over neutral.
Much better about
Violet. One step closer to like than dislike.
But here's what I'm going to tell you, because you've already read the first half of the book. So I can say this, because obviously Rebecca Yarros listens to the pod.
Well, duh.
Clearly.
She was at Hamilton.
She didn't
today. So I put it in the work group, the Onyx Storm work group chat, and I was like, someone with a blue check needs to get on this.
Right, and give her tickets and get her over here.
Here's the hoping. I mean, honestly, I'm shocked. Like, as a writer, you would think Outsiders being such a big book.
Right.
Like, such a staple in, like,
yeah,
American...
But how old are her kids?
Literature. I don't know.
Anyway, the moral of the story of what I was saying here is the part that made me... Well, there were actually lots of parts that made me cackle out loud. But when she made fun of her own self, when they made fun of Violet and Zayden for having the same argument over and over again,
I'm like,
she is a woman of the people.
Yes. I read that.
Because I was like, it had to be addressed.
Yeah.
It was so glaring and pissed so many people off. She had to address it and she did it in the best way. And I'm like, I would like to have dinner with you.
Yeah.
And the more interviews I see with her, I'm like,
she's like Rebecca and like girl, a little weird,
but let's
like
get a drink.
The best way.
Let's get a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have 3 espresso martinis together. Yes. Yeah.
And see where the night goes.
Right. Right. So obviously she's a listener to the pod. We'll send her some free merch.
Correct.
And that's that. But how I really fucked myself is in the same week I read Onyx Storm, I finished Crescent City.
Hmm. Bold choices.
It is a miracle you're not visiting me in a mental institution right now.
Hmm. Yeah. Rose is pretty rough after the ending of that Crescent City.
Holy cannoli. Okay.
I told Rose that you said we were never going to do Throne of Glass, and she said, hell, I'll do it. And I said, this is shaping up to be a Brianna podcast that just brings on people who want to joke about
what books. Does Rose think is funny about Throne of Glass? Because it's nothing. The answer is nothing.
We'll have to ask her.
I'm sure.
Well, look at the schedule.
Listen, I'm sure I could find some things. It's not.
We should do the Onyx Storm. I'll work on finishing it this week, so that way maybe we can do it before her last day at work is the 9th.
Of February.
Yeah.
So what, she won't be our friend anymore after she's done working with you?
No, but she's off a week in the city, and then she goes home for a week, and then she starts hell with Boop. So if we don't get her in those first couple of weeks of February, then we're not getting
it. Okay, yeah, we should do Onyx Storm with Rose. That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. But the problem is, you have to do the recap, and then you have to spiral.
Maybe the spiral could be a mini-sode.
The spiral could be the rest of my life. That's the problem. The spiral could be the rest of my life. And our girl, Rebecca, I understand she has burnout and whatever, and I want her to live her life.
Has no idea when the next one's coming out. She's writing,
she doesn't care.
A contemporary book before she even starts thinking about
that. But that's contractual, so I understand. I understand that she's like taking the summer off with her kids. Go, bless. But what the hell? What are we supposed to do here? What are we supposed to do here? Because people are just spinning out. Do you think she has it all mapped out?
I don't know. I feel like she has to know the beginning, the middle, and the end. Like, she has to know the end game.
It's 5 books, right? We're on to 3. I feel like she has the playlist already working. She has the playlist for the 4th book going, but not the 4th book. Help me.
Maybe that's how her brain works.
Oh God, please.
I didn't even listen to it.
Well, she didn't release the playlist for the 4th book. She said she already has it. The
playlist.
Oh. The playlist for the 3rd book.
Is fitting?
I saw it, and then I didn't tandem do it because, but it, yeah, in hindsight, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, her husband is a little snackish. Have you seen him?
No. Mm.
So, yeah, I finished Crescent City, which was like, I have no words. I have no words. I have words for the people who said that those books aren't good.
You have some choice words for those people.
Strong words for them.
Yes. You do.
Because it wasn't just one person. It was a lot of people. It was a lot of people. So I was like, oh, this is going to be really disappointing. And I was like, do you have eyeballs? Like, did you read the pages? Because what are we talking about? Bryce Quinlan is a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm talking too much. We'll carry on, but it was not in the best interest of my mental health to complete those 2 books in 1 calendar week.
I don't know why you did it.
Well, I'll tell you why I did it. Because I was in the middle of Crescent City.
Oh, no, I know. I know
and I had to stop because I had to read Onyx Storm. And then as soon as it was over, I'm like, I have a hangover. Like, what am I going to cure this with? Crescent City. And then I was like, now I have the worst hangover. I'm back on the City of Gods and Monsters. It's like
the 2nd book.
Am I in the 2nd or the 3rd?
The one you had to stop.
I didn't have to stop it. And I'm like trying to be open minded. It's good. It is good. It is good. It's just not like I don't want to devour it.
Yeah.
And and by good, I mean it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's we should do those because I have a lot to say about those that I'll spare you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing, but I don't reread or redid or re-listened to everything with this book that we're about to do. I always have a little Throne of Glass action going in the background.
Background music.
Just for my mental health.
Just, a soft cushion.
Because I can't be away from
it. A little hug.
I can't be away from it for too long.
A little hug.
I can't be away from it for too long.
I'm done.
So you finished your Druid book.
Yeah, I did.
But you forgot about book club, so you read
it. I didn't forget about book club. We had to unfortunately cancel a show because the grid was not supporting our building.
I understand. I understand.
And therefore, everyone went home, and therefore, there was no book club this month.
But when I just asked you about book club a few moments ago, you said, oh, it was supposed to be Saturday.
Saturday, we were a little preoccupied.
But I'm just saying, how did you not even notice that you missed the book club?
Until right now. I don't know if you understand how big of a deal it is when a show gets canceled.
it doesn't seem like a very big deal for anyone. They went home, lived their Saturday.
Right.
And forgot about book club.
Correct.
But on Sunday, no one was like, hey, guys, we're rescheduling book club.
No, because everyone was taught. Well, no, because Sunday was everyone's last day.
Oh.
We had three cast members. We had three OBC, original Broadway cast members, leave.
Oh, my God. I hope the show's going to be up to par tomorrow when I see it with my goddaughter. So you didn't say what you were reading? You're reading Onyx Storm?
I'm reading Onyx Storm. I am also reading...
You're reading two things at one time?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
I was reading another book when I couldn't read Onyx Storm. Yeah, this is how you lose the time war.
Okay.
It's short. It's very short. I don't think I am an elevated enough reader to really understand what the fuck is going on.
Love that for us.
It's about, like, these two time-traveling, like, agents that end up falling in love with each other.
Like secret agents?
Yeah. It's only a 4-hour audiobook.
What made you pick it?
One of the girls I work with, who I've worked with a couple of times on a few different shows, suggested it. And I think I'm overthinking it. As no. far as, like...
No.
Shut up. Shut up. Understand it. But I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, understand what's going on. Like...
How long are you... How far are you in for you?
Like an hour.
Okay. Ish. You're 25... Let's say you're a quarter of the... You have no idea what's going on?
Yes, I do know what's... In the grand scheme of things, what's going on. But they jump to different points in time.
Is it a fiction book?
Yes. I'm sorry. What other kind of book would it be?
A non-fiction book?
About time-traveling agents?
Oh, I forgot what you said. I forgot the premise. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I rarely ever get you.
Pretty good. I was about to ask you, like, now what's it about? Oh my god.
The disdain on your face was when you said a nonfiction. That's why the video is needed, so people can see the disdain on your face.
See the wrinkles on my face.
Oh god. Oh. Yes, it is a nonfiction.
Shut the fuck up. It's an autobiography.
When I read it, I try just to, like, enjoy it and not think too much about it. Where I feel like, especially in romanticy, and that's the same thing with the Iron Druid book, Hounded. It's like, romanticy, no matter the author, it's got the same kind of pacing. Like, it's... There's, like, a cadence to romanticy in order to keep the story going.
Okay.
Whereas Hounded was just a fantasy book. There was no romance at all. And it was just a different, like, it was a different pacing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it was, like, just having to, like, retrain my brain to not read romanticy.
Interesting.
Okay. So, speaking of romanticy... Good segue.
Great segue. Great segue. Oh my god, that was excellent. Cast. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
I get paid nothing. If anything, I've lost
money. You've lost a shitload of money. I've lost a ton of money. Yeah, we're on new mics.
Hope you can tell.
Nipshin.
Really, it's more so if you can hear Eileen better, you're welcome.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Follow us on Patreon, though, to pay for these babies back, you know.
All right. The second ACOTAR book.
Second ACOTAR book. A Court of Mist and Fury.
Just had to look at your computer.
Yeah, I did. The title, yeah, the titles blend together in my head.
They don't mean anything to me. Is
it's the green one. Okay. It's book number two.
I'm on the pink one now. And by that, I mean I started reading it and I didn't finish it yet.
Let me get this straight. You read a druid book.
Uh-huh.
You're reading Onyx Storm.
Uh-huh.
You're reading this other book you don't understand.
Uh-huh.
And you are also somehow in the middle of the third ACOTAR book.
Yeah.
Do you understand that maybe if you didn't read like this, then you could understand the book that you couldn't
Well, I haven't touched the ACOTAR book in a couple weeks.
That makes it worse.
How many time travel book is
has been
shelved, so I can just focus on Onyx Storm, and then I'll go back to probably the time travel book just because it's short and I want to bang it out, and then I'll
get
to the third Akatar book. I used to have a lot more time to read,
but it's not your. What you're describing isn't a time problem. Time management problem.
What I'm describing is ADHD. Yeah, no, I see it. So I put that aside, and then I started The Hounded, and then I finished Hounded, and I couldn't start Onyx Storm. Because the problem is like with Iron Flame and with Fourth Wing, I started reading those books, and I would put everything off in my life.
But why did you go instead of just, okay, so we couldn't do Onyx Storm. Mm-hmm. I understand. Why start a new short time travel book that makes no sense instead of just going back to the third Akatar book and reading that? You don't know the answer to this question.
It's because I'm enjoying the Akatar books, but like, If
you were enjoying them, you could never put them down.
I enjoy the inner circle of the Akatar books. I can't stand Feyre.
Still.
Forever.
You think that Violet is better than Feyre?
Yes. And, well, I say yes very quickly because she's just more tolerable to me.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. We'll agree to disagree.
Can't wait to be reminded about what this book is we're about to talk about. Because if this is the book I think it is, it's the book that almost made me put down the entire series and not finish it at all. Because she had one job. And she fucked it up.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to get one to job. That today. We're not going to get to
she that. She had one job. She fucked it up.
Yeah.
In turn, fucked a lot of other things up.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator,
uh-huh,
with Feyre or Violet?
Violet.
Interesting.
Well, how long would I be stuck in the elevator? Because I could probably tune Feyre out.
You don't know.
Actually.
You don't know.
Violet would probably want to talk in the elevator. Feyre, I could just ignore.
You'd have to also provide some kind of medical assistance to Violet.
That's fine. But she'd require more talking. Feyre, I would just be able to ignore.
Interesting.
Well, she cares. She cares about people, which
she
is cares, awesome.
And she is kind of a badass in her own right.
Yeah.
I mean, she saved her entire family from poverty by teaching herself how to hunt.
Sure. Yes.
She beat every challenge under the mountain.
But she cheated. You're okay with her cheating on those, but you're not okay with Violet poisoning?
No, I'm not okay with her. She didn't cheat on the first one.
No.
She cheated on the reading one. Yeah, she did. She cheated on the reading one. Yeah. Yeah. Feyre cheated for survival.
One could argue, and I am the one, that would argue that Violet cheated for survival as well.
She could have left 400 times with Dane. She didn't leave. And then she stayed and couldn't be tough. Okay. So she poisoned people.
Okay. Whatever. You're right. Okay.
Don't make me knock you out. Feyre was captured, taken against her will. Yes, she had the right to cheat. This was not the same situation.
Okay.
She did not... I'm about to leave. Not the same thing. I don't understand how you can't see that it's not the same thing.
I do see what you're saying. I just also don't think it's as cut and dry of a situation for Violet. That's all. You have no grace for her because you don't like her.
You're trying to make me mad.
I'm not trying to do anything.
Yes, your smug face says otherwise.
It's because... Never mind. You're right.
No.
No, you're right. A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Crazy. We're not doing Court of Thorns and Roses. We're doing
Court of Mist and Fury. A Court of Mist and Fury.
To be fair, I call them A Court of Thorns and Roses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Fair enough. That's what I was getting at, but I stopped before I distinguished the number.
Sure.
A Court of Thorns and Roses 2.
Right. So where did we leave off with A Court of Thorns and Roses 1?
Feyre came back to life as a high fae.
She did.
And she walked into the sunset with Tam-Tam.
With Tam-Tam. Happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Living her best high fae life.
She's not living her best high fae life because...
Well, we don't know that until right now.
Right. So we start off with this book with her with the vom-voms everywhere because she's having nightmares and puking her guts out.
I didn't know what you meant by the vom-voms.
The vom-voms, yeah.
It doesn't translate as well.
Right. And
she gets sick, for those of you who don't understand.
she's puking her guts out. She's having nightmares. She has PTSD.
Severe PTSD for good reason.
100% understandable. What's not understandable is Tam-Tam pretending he's sleeping through the nightly retchings. And you want to know how I know it's not possible for him to sleep through the nightly retchings of Feyre? Is because I listen to the graphic audio of this book.
Guys, just to be clear, this means Eileen has finally gotten her dramatic reading.
I have found...
Full circle.
I have found...
The podcast can end now.
I have found the dramatic readings, and I can attest to the fact that they have somebody... They're paying a person to make retching vomit sounds as an actress. And I could tell you...
That could be me.
It could be... It would be impossible. Absolutely impossible to sleep through them. But we are supposed to, as a collective audience, believe he's sleeping through them. But we're not really, because she kind of knows right away he's bullshitting. Tamlin also has his own nightmares because he had his own trauma. Does he want to talk about them? No. Does he want to shapeshift into an animal sometimes and sleep at the foot of the bed? Yes.
Typical male.
Typical male. Male is the right word here. We also find out pretty much right off the bat, congratulations, Tam-Tam and Feyre are engaged to be married. But it is pretty obvious that our girl, Feyre, wants absolutely nothing to do with planning this nightmare of a wedding. So enter...
Ianthe.
I think it's Ianthe or Ianthe. I've listened.
Ianthe is what my Audible calls her.
Okay, Ianthe. I've listened to the dramatized reading, and I still can't remember. In my head, when I first read this, I would like... It sucks, because now I know how to say words, but in my head, when I first read this, it was Ianthe.
Like Ian?
Ianthe. Yes. Okay, so we're going with Ianthe.
That's what Audible says.
Okay, so Ianthe is Tamlin's, like, family childhood friend... priestess who's living in the house. Basically, he hires her to be Feyre's
friend.
Gal pal.
Yeah.
And she's super into all this dumb shit about wedding planning and cake tasting and DJ listening and all this crap. Feyre seems pretty happy to just, like, hand this all over because she doesn't want anything to do with it. This is not her style. This is not her vibe. She even hates her wedding dress. She looks like what
Thumbelina.
She looks like Thumbelina. Or what I'm envisioning is the episode of Friends where Rachel has to be a bridesmaid. And she's in the Pepto-Bismol dress, but white.
Uh-huh.
And she's gritting her teeth and she's just trying to get through it. And she thinks that this girl is her friend and... spoiler alert, this girl sucks. But it's fine. She's there. She's walking her through it. She's all dressed up in this castle in pretty outfits with nowhere to go. It's not her style. I'm also picturing, like, Victorian, what's that show?
Bridgerton?
Yes. I'm picturing her in Bridgerton outfits.
Okay.
Okay? She doesn't want to be in these poofy dresses. And the problem is she's stuck in this house.
Yeah. Tam-Tam's gone a little cray-cray.
Tam-Tam's gone cray-cray. No, here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to defend him the way I defended Dane. I can understand why he's swung the pendulum to this side. I get it. Like, you were just taken prisoner. Your entire court was... The whole world was taken prisoner by a bunch of psychopaths. And people are looking for Feyre. Like, she saved everyone. Yeah. She's a hot commodity. I get it in the moment. I do. But he wants her to stay inside and paint. Feyre does not want to stay inside and paint.
No.
And nobody wants to look at Feyre's paintings.
No, not at all. So not it would, at all.
It would be best for everyone should she have another hobby in which she was allowed to go outside and not have to...
paint.
Paint, yes. Not have to unleash her artistic side upon the world with her stick figures and her... it's finger paint. It's the only painting I can... picture her doing is finger painting.
Fair enough. So she does not want to get married. She does not want to paint.
It's not that she doesn't want to get married at this point. She wants to get married. I don't think she's interested in the bullshit that comes with like this title and this lifestyle. Right off the bat, we get an incredible, cringy Tamlin Feyre post bullshit apology. He's apologizing for not letting, you know, for being overprotective. And then they have the cringiest sex. And again, I will refer to the dramatized audio. Because when I read it, when I read it on paper, it was like, ick. And when I had to listen to it, I felt
violated.
Like I wanted to jump out my car window.
While it was moving.
I wanted to abandon my moving vehicle and exit out the driver's side door. But that's okay. We moved past it. They do it. And what you're going to find out is that instead of discussing their problems, they fuck a lot instead.
Yeah.
And in this cringy sex scene, he also, this is when he tells her, she's like, hey, am I going to be high lady? Like, this is like their like foreplay. And he's like, there's no such thing as a high lady. Like right off the bat, doesn't really think about it. And she's like, oh, this is awkward. So, like, what am I? And he was like, well, you'll be, like, a noble, but, like, that's it. You'll be, like, Lucian's mom. And she's like, oh, okay. And then, like, she has sex with him anyway. This is what we're dealing with. And I'm going to very, very strongly advise that no one listens to the dramatized audio of this. I'm throwing it out there. Because in your head, you can gloss over. You can read fast. You could do your own thing, right? Because it's just words on a paper and it's your brain.
Interpretation.
But when people are speaking those words into your eardrums, you can never get that back. What we also learned is that there have been no signs of Reese so far. So if you'll remember, they're supposed to have a bargain. He's supposed to come pick her up 1 week out of the month and whisk her away. And now it's been, I think, about 3 months and he has not shown up.
Yeah.
I assumed, and this is fucked up, I assumed he was coming during baby making week. Like, I thought that that was his, like, this, I thought that was his gross plan. He was just going to come during her baby making week and take her away and either make her not have babies or make her have babies. I didn't know, but, like, that's what a sicko I am. That's what I, but no, he's not showing up. We don't know where he is. She's got these tattoos all over her, though, and she kind of knows that something's, like, pulling, and she's, like, embarrassed by these tattoos. Feyre, girl, get over yourself. But he's not showing up. So finally, after a lot of pouting around, Lucian takes her out on a little sanctioned Tamlin field trip. And they go to the village that they're rebuilding near in the Spring Court. And she wants to go help. She wants to rebuild. She wants to
be a lady of the people.
She wants to be Princess Diana is what she wants to do. And they roll up and it's real awkward because nobody wants her help.
Yeah.
Nobody wants her help.
No one wants her help.
People are like...
Why would they?
Well... I see her point, but she's so dumb. She never thought about where all these people went that weren't under the mountain. And she's like, but wait, like, where were they? And Lucian's like, they were in prison camps. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, you've been there for 3 months. You didn't ask this before today? She is a celebrity of sorts, right? Like, she, to be fair, these people are like, you saved us, but also, like, we don't want to think about that time, like, please go away. And she is like, if I can't paint and I can't help these people rebuild, like, what is my life? Great question, Feyre. Absolutely great question. Everyone keeps telling her, Lucian's trying to tell her, stupid Anthe or whatever is trying to tell her, Tamlin's gonna calm down after the wedding. We just have to get to the wedding once you're married. Now, here's when I'm gonna give some advice to people out there in the ether. If you have a controlling boyfriend, the answer is not it's going to get better after you're contractually obligated to them in a court of law.
Yeah.
But again, it's fairy world. What do I know? She's having full-blown panic attacks, though. Like, she's going through it, and literally no one cares. Tamlin is ignoring her. I don't think Lucien fully grasps what's going on, but, like, she's having full-blown episodes.
Yeah.
Which is totally understandable, but we're just totally, as a household, as a Spring Court, we're absolutely ignoring them. So we go through all this bullshit. We finally get to wedding day. This bitch is in the world's ugliest cupcake dress, and she is having a full-blown meltdown in her head. She's walking down the aisle. She sees a red flower. Red reminds her of Amarantha. She does not suddenly... She suddenly does not want to get married. She stops in her tracks, and she is having a panic attack. And in her head, she's going, like, please, someone help me. Anyone, please come help me out of this. Why she's only saying this in her head, not really sure. But it does not really matter because...
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Enter...
Reese.
Enter Reese. Enter Reese. And what does Reese say? Hello, Pharaoh, darling. And these are the words that, like, they changed a generation. And he comes and he's, and by generation, I mean another one, not mine. He comes and he...
Rose has it tattooed on her body.
Right, as she should. So he sweeps in at, like, what Tamlin considers the worst possible time, and he's super pissed, and he's like, hey, gang, and this is, like, a society wedding. People have... This is, like... We are...
She looks like a cupcake,
every important person is there, and he rolls in, like, by the way, we have a bargain, and I've come to collect on it, and...
What does Tam Tam do?
He does a whole lot of nothing like he always does. He's pissed off, but even Pharaoh knows he's not going to do shit in the moment. And Reese whisked her off for, like, her week-long vacation. And she's flipping out because she's like, I asked for someone to help me. But she thinks that she's going to go to the night court and it's going to be the scariest place in the world. And she's going to be a prisoner and it's going to be terrifying and she's going to shit her pants and whatever. Reese is super smug about everything, which is great because she's being a brat. And they roll up and he's like, by the way, you're welcome for saving you the way that you were asking me to do. And she is pouting around.
She's being such a little brat.
She's being a brat, which it is a little bit understandable. But not only could he hear her begging to call off the wedding, he's like, I've actually, like... It's awkward because when I'm trying to sleep, I hear you puking. And, like, I feel your panic attacks. And, like, I just, like, I'm trying to get my 8 hours. So, just so you know, like, and she's like, wait, what? No, I puke quiet. Tamlin sleeps through it. And he's like, actually, it's gross and loud. And I hear you. So... She looks like shit. He doesn't understand why nobody cares about what she's going through.
Correct, because she's also, like, emaciated.
You look like shit. Yeah. Your eyes are sunken in. You're puking. Like, sweetheart, are you okay? And she's not getting it. She's not getting it. We roll up into an absolutely gorgeous mansion situation. And we have to sit through a tense meal where he's trying to chat it up with her. And she's being see you next Tuesday-ish, okay? She realizes she's not going to be a prisoner. She has a beautiful room. And spoiler alert, the clothes in the night court are way doper than the clothes in the spring court. Yes, okay?
They are.
Yeah, we got gauzy pants and crop tops and, like,
lace and...
And yeah, it's fun. It's absolutely fun. And she's realizing it's not scary. Like, she's looking around. She's like, a little confused. Like, what's happening? So we, at this point, we also meet Morrigan, Reese's cousin, who is just a delight. She's feisty and she gives him a lot of shit.
I love her.
And she's trying to befriend Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is just...
Being a bitch.
100%. She's not having it. She's being real nasty. So we finally have a sit down and Reese is like, listen, BT dubs, I can read your mind and I could read everyone's minds and it would be in your best interest to learn how to shield me out so you could shield other people out. And also, since you're an adult woman who's about to be married, you should learn how to read. And she's like, no, Absolutely not.
And you're not going to be the one to teach me.
You're not going to teach me how to read. I'm not going to learn anything
from you.
You're not going to teach me how to read. And it's like, well, bitch, is anyone else teaching you how to read?
Is anyone else doing anything for you that is, like, helpful or healthy in any way, shape, or form?
No. No.
No.
So she finally gives in and she's like, since I'm here, let's do it. And it's absolutely hilarious because the way Reese teaches her how to read is by making her write over and over again about how hot he is and how sexy he is and about how he's the best. And she picks up the mind shielding pretty good. And she's learned more in 18 hours at this night court than she has in three months. And it's just like, girl,
I think you're right.
Your freaking eyes. Like, what are we doing here? And Reese is just the best. And subtly, he just keeps reminding her how much Tamlin sucks. Like, he's throwing digs left, right, and center. And it's everything. So finally,
does he walk her around yet, or is she not yet confined to the townhouse?
She just got there. Okay. No, they're not in the townhouse yet.
Got it.
They're not in the townhouse yet. They're in his, like, the mansion that's over the court under the mountain.
Got it.
Yeah. So, he takes her after a few reading lessons, and he's like, come up here, and he brings her into like a situation room. And he's like, by the way, Hybern's coming back and he's gonna kill all the humans and there's gonna be a big war. And I was in the last one, and guess what? Wars with this guy fucking blow. And he tells her more in 5 minutes about what's going on in the outside world than anyone has told her in months. And this bitch is still not convinced. He's begging for her to help. He's like, listen, my gut is telling me that since we all gave you our power, that you probably have a little bit of, like, the power from the seven High Lords. Like, we need your help. Are you in? Are you out? And she's like, I'm out. I want nothing to do with this. And also he slips in, by the way, of course there's such a thing as fucking high ladies. Plus one, Reese. Negative 10, tampon. So it's not...
Tampon!
It's not enough.
Did you hear yourself call him tampon?
You've never seen it? Everyone on the internet calls him tampon.
That's amazing. Are you...
Oh, really?
No.
Oh. So Reese is like, okay, so you don't want to help us? You'd rather go back and just be a prisoner of this guy who, if you have forgotten, he watched you almost die under the mountain 800 times. I helped you. He was a pussy and watched you almost die 400 times. I just want to be clear. You want to go back with him and be a prisoner instead of staying here with me and saving the world. And she's like, yep.
Yes.
Cool. And he's had it with her. It's not written like that, but in my head, he's like, I can't deal with this bitch. And he takes off for the rest of the week. It's her first day. He's gone for the rest of the week. I would be too. I get it. You needed to go.
Space.
You needed space. So when he comes back, it's like the day before he's supposed to leave, and she's eavesdropping around, and she hears a couple things. So we hear him and Moore talking. We hear about Illyrians, but we don't know what they are. We hear that there have been attacks on a lot of the temples for the different high priestesses? Priestess, what's the...
I think priestess is plural.
All right. So there's been attacks on mad temples where the high priestess... work. And she also learns that some of these characters here have the ability to, like, they call it winnowing, but it's essentially teleporting. This is all she's kind of gathering. So this is just background information. And she also hears about two elusive characters, Asriel and Cassian. Who are they? We don't know yet, but buckle up because they're coming. So despite a great week of essentially being left alone, learning how to read, wearing dope clothes, and not being bothered with the two servants that helped her under the mountain to give her whatever she wanted, this bitch cannot wait. She dips as soon as the week is up. She can't wait to get the fuck out. So Reese is like, all right, no problem. I'll drop you off at home. He says some saucy to her, leaves her in the garden, and off he goes. Catch you again next month. She walks in, and in the cringiest, cringe moment, she's like, Tamlin! And she tries to jump his bones, and he's like, I love you, but no,
need to tell me everything.
Absolutely. And I'm like, this is the smallest dick energy I've ever felt. Like, just, I don't, he just needs a debriefing. Like, this bitch has been away for a week. You think that she's been, like, attacked for a week. And, like, he's just like, we need to sit down and have a chat. And he just keeps checking her over. And she's telling him, like, nothing bad happened to me. And he's not really buying it. But also, he's not concerned enough if he thinks something
did happen.
Really did. Right. So, we all, like, he's, like, toxic. And she's like, what happened to the house? And he's like, I trashed it because I missed you. Well, did you do anything about it? Or did you just knock the books off the shelf in your library?
He's like a toddler.
Literally.
He's
yes.
a toddler.
Right. Tampon the toddler.
Tampon the toddler.
He starts, him and Lucian start interrogating her left and right. And she sings like a bird. She tells them everything. And she's like, by the way, we said I might have, like, powers from Seven High Lords. And he's like, well, under no circumstances will you be allowed to figure that out or train them. Which is categorically insane. Like, he tells her it's for her protection. And then they also just casually are like, well, if we kill Reese, we won't have this problem anymore. I'm like, you're supposed to be the, and I'm using air quotes here, the good guys. We're just knocking people off. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yep.
So now we roll right into the tithe. Okay?
Yes.
The tithe is where.
Yes.
Now, mind you, there's no mention of a new wedding. We gloss over that. We're all just pretending that this bitch did not, like,
run
on her wedding day, and she comes back and we're just back to a long engagement. So we have the tithe where Tamlin, it's tax collecting.
Yeah.
But it's tax collecting in the biblical sense, right? Where he sits on a throne and everyone has to show up. But here's the thing. It's not even like everyone has to bring gold. Everyone has to bring, like, whatever means the most to them. So, like, there's people bringing fruit and there's people bringing fish and there's people bringing loaves of bread. You have to make this payment in whatever your currency is. So, and if you don't make the payment, you get 1 month to bring back a double.
Yeah.
Or Tamlin's basically going to hunt you down and kill you. This is where we're at. Now, I understand taxes. I understand that they're a necessary part of life, but this entire situation is absolutely absurd. Feyre is remarkably uncomfortable sitting on this throne, and she wants to go. This is hours long. Ianthe is, like, trying to pep her up. Like, Ianthe is all about the court, the traditions, the appearances, right? So she's trying to pep her up, like, you have to do this. And Feyre is falling asleep in the chair. She doesn't want to deal with this shit anymore. So we get it's a water wraith, right?
Yes.
Okay, so a water wraith comes in, and this whatever ugly, creepy thing is
I picture, like, the mermaids in Harry Potter.
Okay.
They have webbed finger, like, webbed hands.
It's not an attractive.
No.
Creature.
It's a creature.
It's a creepy creature that, like, rolls into this throne room and is like, listen, you haven't been, like, supplying the lake where I live with fish. Like, we have nothing. We can't pay. And Tamlin's like, that sounds like a personal problem. You could bring your fish back next month, or, like, I'm going to murder you. And Feyre's like, whoa, hold on a minute. Like, this is the first person who really can't pay. And Feyre's trying to, like, plead with him, and he's, like, being ice cold. Like,
stone cold.
Like, woman, stand down. So she's like, I got to go to the bathroom or get a sip of water. She makes some excuse, and she dips out, and she goes chasing after this creepy water thing. And she's like, listen, I don't have any fish to give you, but here. And she just unloads all of her jewelry on this water wraith.
Well, because at one other point in the book, like, during this point, she talks about how he just buys her things.
She's got, yeah, of course.
She's got, like, endless everything.
Right,
endless,
and remember, this girl was
Cupcake dresses.
This girl came from, like, almost dying of actual starvation.
Yeah.
So she unloads all of her jewelry to this water wraith, and she's like, you think this will cover it? And I'm like, I think she was supposed to bring, like, 3 trout. So, like, 50 rubies and a string of diamonds will probably, yeah, it'll probably work itself out. Let's call it even. And people aren't happy that she's done this altruistic act. And Tamlin's really pissed. She goes back in, word spreads around. He thinks, she, you know, he's going to look weak. And she's asking him, like, now we're in the dining room, shocker. It's dinner time, and it's him and Lucian and her. And she's like, you don't need all this shit. You don't need fish or fruit or, like, whatever. Like, I was almost starving. Do you not understand? Like, I almost died. Like, you'll never get that. And it turns into a big ol' fight.
Fight.
Yeah. And in this fight, she realizes, like, where she was touching the table, she had, like, burned it. There was, like, fingerprints in the table. And in this fight also, she accidentally slips into Lucian's mind. She didn't do it on purpose. She didn't know how to control it.
Well, I don't think she even realized she did it in the moment.
Well, she does, but she's like, and like his mind is a little sad, which is sad for all of us because we stan Lucian a little bit. So,
I love Lucian.
Yeah.
He's a hot ass mess, but I love him.
He is the hottest of hot messes. So she actually stands up for herself. We have a fight. So after the fight, Tamlin, in an unshocking series of events, tries to buy his way out of his dickhead behavior and brings her a present. Another apology. I think we're on our, like, fourth fucking apology. It's the apology tour. It's enough.
Yeah.
So he brings her this present. She's, like, panicking about what it is, and she rips it open, and what is it?
Paint.
Not only is it paint. Now, this is real fucked up. It's a traveling
paint set
for a girl who can't go outside.
She's, like, only allowed in the garden.
Talk about missing the absolute mark. So she goes into a spiral, and she was like, she tells them flat out, she's like, I'm dying in here. Like, I can't go outside. Like, does this paint set mean I'm going to be allowed to go out? Like, I am falling apart. I'm a prisoner. And she starts to have a panic attack. And Tamlin, being the absolute gem that he is, what does he do? Instead of comforting her or trying, and he loses his shit. He has, like, a power surge, and he destroys the room that they're in.
Yeah.
Like, his power just, like,
destroys, starts
blasting
new,
apart furniture.
The
paint set. I mean, he just bought this paint set. He probably went out and got it custom. But Feyre, in a weird twist of events, accidentally, like, she uses a windshield, and she doesn't know. She shields herself from his meltdown, and she doesn't know how she does it. But she does. Now, the weirdest part here is that this conflict resolves itself by him apologizing for the 40th fucking time and her promptly taking her clothes off and fucking him.
Yep. Yeah. It's very toxic. Like, that's not even the proper term. Like, it's, yeah.
So after he bangs her, he's like, you know what? You're right. I'm gonna ease up. I'm going to chill out on the security detail. Live your life. And she has a few days of, like, not even freedom, but just, like, more relaxed protocols. Until, dun dun dun, who comes back to get her?
Reese.
We'll get a Reese hand. So he rolls up, and the biggest ick, Tamlin just starts begging him to not take Feyre. Does he beat the shit out of him? No. Does he say, you're not taking her? No. Does he come up with any type of actual idea to break this quote-unquote arrangement? No. He begs like the little bitch man that he is. It doesn't work. Reese, by the way, before he winnows her out, is like, Feyre, you look like shit. They don't have food here? Or, like he is... Oh,
he's goals. The
fucking, yes, he is goals. And he fucking whisked her back to the Night Court mansion. Feyre is still refusing to help Reese, even though he's obviously concerned about her welfare, even though he's obviously the best. And even though Tamlin is obviously exhibiting abusive behavior.
Correct.
She's not having it. And she, you know, she throws a book at him. She actually threw her shoes at him the first time she went there. She's like a toddler. She's like a toddler.
Well, it's learned behavior.
Right. So the rest of the, so she's there. And this is like an uneventful week. Like the week goes by and she has kind of like a nice week. Like he doesn't really bother her. She's just learning how to read. Oh, great skill to have. You're a fucking adult woman.
Grown-ass
she's learning how to
woman.
Read. Until it's time to dip. So she's learning how to shield. She's learning how to read. No one's bothering her. She's living her best life. It's time to dip. It's time to go home. So when she gets back, the pendulum has swung. Tamlin is more controlling than ever. Any privileges she has had have been immediately revoked. And all the things that they're talking about war. They're having these meetings. Like, he knows what's up. He's a High Lord. He's in there with Ianthe, whatever the fuck her name is, and Lucian. And they're strategizing and, like, they're doing things and they're not letting her be a part of it. Like, she's on the outside. She's trying to listen in. She's getting... They're not letting her play with the grown-ups. So... She also learns that she's got claws too. So we're figuring the mind reading comes from Rhys. The fire, I don't think she knows comes where it comes from. She's got wind and now she has claws. Like she's exhibiting all of these powers from these different High Lords. And
Lucian sees the claws, right?
I was going to say, when Lucian sees the claws, he's like, oh, shit's getting real. Hang tight. Let me talk to Tamlin. I'll try to see, like, you probably should get some training. Tamlin's argument for why she shouldn't get training is that, like, if the other High Lords know that she has these powers, she's gonna have a target on her back. So Lucian's like, this is getting a little crazy. I'm gonna put in a good word for you. But we all kind of know that, like, that's nothing's gonna happen. Like
Lucian in his head, he's just a whipping boy at this point.
Right. Which is sad. It's sad because they're supposed to be friends.
I think it's a situation where Lucian would do anything for Tam Tam, and Tam Tam would let Lucian...
Tam Tam would let fucking Feyre. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Lucian and Tam Tam are heading off for some super secret spy mission, and as they're leaving, she is having, like, the ultimate meltdown. She's having a panic attack. She's like, can I please come with you? Can I please go with you guys? And they're saying no. She's like, I can make myself useful. I can make myself hide. Like, she's trying anything. And then she tries to stand up for herself and she's like, I'm going to go with you anyway. Like, I don't care what you say. I'm going with you. And that's when Tamlin wards the house and literally, like, locks her in the house. Yeah. She is in a panic. She's trying to claw her way out of the doors, the windows. This girl has PTSD from being a prisoner, and now she's a prisoner again, and it's not going well, and she is literally... She's trying to get out of this house every which way. Lucian's kind of looking at her like, I'm sorry, there's nothing I could do. Tamlin's like, catch you when I get back. Paint me something beautiful, sweetheart. And she is dying.
She... Reading that was actually hard. For me.
Yeah, it's...
Like,
it's...
I felt very bad. Like, and again, we all know, not a Feyre lover. But there's a level of that trauma where I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, she is, it's sad. Like, it's very, very sad moment. Sad. And the panic attack basically morphs from, like, your average panic attack to a fire panic attack.
Yeah.
She's on fire. Sets herself She's on fire. Making fire. She's in fire. I don't really know. There's a lot of fucking fire. People are trying to help her. She hears Alice trying to talk to her, like, calm her down. She hears a woman, and she's, like, in the panic attack. She thinks it's actually Amarantha coming to get her. It's not Amarantha. Who is it? Who is coming to get her? Who Moore. Has saved her? Our girl, fucking Moore, has come to save her.
Because I think you even hear Alice through all of it being like, please help her.
Alice, right. And that's like an important part. Yeah, Alice is like, yo, take her out of here. So Moore comes and gets her. And Moore is able to get her because Rhys could melt those stupid fucking wards. Tamlin's pussy wards away on the house. Like he sneezed, okay? That's how... badass he is. And he sends Moore to come get her, and she rescues her, and off they go back to Valeris, and they have to take a roundabout way. There's like a lot of rules kind of involved right now, and Feyre wakes up in the Night Court mansion with Hot Rhys just sitting there watching her sleep, which could be creepy, but it's not because he's so hot. And he, like, right off the bat, it's like, if you want to live here for the rest of your life, you're welcome. And it's like,
that's Feyre. The energy we're looking for.
Feyre, like, what are we doing here, girl? Like, what are we doing here? So, she kind of says, I'll think about it. And I'm like, that would be a hard yes for me. But, all right, I understand you got a lot of shit going on. And he tells her also that he would have come to get her. But because he's a High Lord, it would basically start an international incident if he had come to get her. There's all these legal protocols, so he had to send Moore to get her.
They had to be done right in order for it not to be challenged.
Right, and Moore's telling him, like, don't worry, I followed all the rules, we're good. And, you know, since it's not a part of her bargain to be there, you can stay. He keeps telling her, like, you can stay here. And she's like, okay, let's see. And right away, her quality of life is increased because he's like, listen, rest up. I have to go to work and I'll come back. And she's like, could I go? I don't want to be here by myself. Can I go with you? And he's like, well, I guess, yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, why not? Why, like, why? Yeah, sure. Come along. By the way, where we're going is top secret. And you'll have to lie if you ever choose to go back to the Spring Court. Are you down? And she's like, abso-fucking-lutely. And, like, that's what she's wanted the whole time. And what she didn't know that she wanted is that they wind up in Where Do They Go? Where do they go? Where do they go?
Valaris.
Valaris, the city of starlight. The imaginary place that we all
want to be. Oh,
my God. So he winnows her into, like, a townhouse, like a super homey townhouse. And she's, like, gets in there. She's like, the fuck? Like, looking around, like, wow, this is a cool house. But it's, like, a home. It's not a palace.
Yeah. It's not a mansion. It's homey.
A mansion. It's a dope townhouse. And she's, like, looking out the window. She's like, wait, is this a city? And they're like, yeah. Like, you ever been outside before? And she's like, but I thought all the cities were destroyed, like, in her head. And she's... What pisses me off is that she's immediately annoyed that there's a city that wasn't destroyed by Amarantha. She's already being a tad annoying about it. And that's okay.
No, yeah, not Feyre. Not Feyre,
darling. And, right. So, like, the whole city seems unmarred. And we find out, he tells her right away, I think, this city hasn't been invaded in 5,000 years. Okay? This is my private house. It's just for me. It's just for my family. And you should probably take a nap. She's like, that sounds like a great idea. So off she goes to take a nap, and she has the two servants with her that have been with her since Under the Mountain, and she starts peppering them with questions, like, how is this city unmarred by Amarantha? Like who's here? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, bitch, this is not your business. It's not our story to tell. We love Rhys. Like, do you...
Hop off.
Get Hop bed. Off. We're here to put you to bed. And she hears...
Glorified nursemaids.
Right. We're not being paid enough. And she hears some people downstairs, and she's like, there's some commotion, and she's trying to listen, but she's tired, so she's knocked out. When she wakes up from her beauty sleep, Rhys is there. And he's like, let's go out. And he takes her on the best date ever. And you know what that date is? He takes her around the city to go shopping. Who doesn't want that? Who does not want to wake up to a hot man who's like, come to my beautiful, perfect city and let's buy things together? Are you kidding?
It's the fucking dream.
It's the literal, absolute dream. So they're walking around and we find out that it's an amazing, dope city with great shopping. There's an art district. It's Nirvana, okay? And he tells her the city is totally hidden and can't be attacked. Even when Highburn comes for this war that he's been... preaching about for 100 pages or 200 pages or whatever now, and the city's totally hidden. Don't worry, you're safe here. No, she doesn't feel safe by this. She just feels annoyed. Like you just wanted everyone to suffer? Feyre, what the fuck? So, we find out, too, that not only does Rhys have the first mansion that we were in and the townhouse, she's like, oh, you see that house up there? That's my formal house. And it's like, yo, this man has
baller energy.
More money than God, okay? And by the way, later we're going to go there. We're going to have like a formal dinner with the whole crew. So you could see like if you want to work with us or not. And I'm like, they should be interviewing her.
Correct.
She should not be interviewing him.
Correct. But bless,
I want to think he knows what he's doing. So,
he does seem to always be one step ahead in some way, shape, or form.
So, she's like, well, who's coming to this dinner? And he gives her the guest list real quick. It's going to be Azriel and Cassian and more. And, oh, also Amryn's going to be there. And, by the way, like, don't make eye contact with her or look at her because she's the scariest thing that's ever fucking existed. Yeah, Amryn. And, while I might be the most powerful High Lord that's ever existed in the history of the world, she scares the shit out of me too. So I'm just letting you know, like
don't fuck with her.
No presh, but like maybe don't just
doesn't he also say stare. Something weird about like don't steal from her or something? Like don't he steal makes from like her. Some yeah, weird like
it, it's just
why
it's,
would I steal from her? Like why would that be what why?
Right, and he's like she looks like a high fae, but she's like not, and it's like well, what is she? And like we don't know. I still don't know. I've read all these books. It's like absolutely fucking out of control. So. She makes a joke in this moment about, like, unaliving herself. And she's like, well, I guess if she killed me, it wouldn't be that bad or something along those lines. And Rhys is like, how dare you? And it's like, well, Rhys, I get that kind of humor. But I understand. I understand where you're coming from. And he's not, he doesn't find it funny at all, the thought of Feyre dying.
Weird.
Right. I mean, I actually don't mind it. But
I, yeah.
And in this moment, she somehow slips into his super protective brain and sees herself and realizes that she looks like shit. And I gotta understand, like, me, this has to be a perspective thing because he, like, loves her that she can see this. Because I would imagine in the mansion or the townhouse that there has to be at least one mirror.
I think it's supposed, yeah, I think it's supposed to be the idea that, like, when you look at yourself every day...
Right. I guess. Yes. She sees herself through Rhys's eyes and suddenly she's like, oh,
I look awful.
Do look like shit. And then he tells her, like, oh, you broke into my mind. That's crazy. No one can. I'm super powerful. And I am a mind reader. No, how do you think you say this word? Damanti? Damanti.
Yeah.
Damanti. That's what they call mind readers in this world. And since Rhys is, she is too.
And do you have the spelling of it?
D-A-E-M-A-N-T-I.
Damanti.
Damanti. See, I put an N on the end. Damanti. That's what I do. I just make up my own fucking words. It's absolutely crazy.
It's okay. We've come from a land that adds R's to the ends of words. Idea. China.
I don't do that. I would never do that.
No, but I'm just saying it's part of our people's culture.
Damanti. Okay, so like she's like he's like, you're a mind reader too, but it's also kind of crazy you got into my mind. This thing's like fucking steel vice. So now we gotta convince this bitch to fly. He's like, listen, we gotta get up into this house of mine, and you can't winnow. And she's like, ugh. And it's like, let the man fly you. Let the man fly you.
Or take the fucking 10,000 steps to get up. Like, whatever.
It's been first class all the way. It's been
all first class
all the way, alright? So he finally convinces her to fly up, okay? And in this moment, we have a deep moment where he talks about how much he loved flying with his dead mom, right? And she wakes up and she's like, you've shown me so much of the city. Like, I only saw the house at the spring court. And it's like, yeah, bitch, like, open your eyes. Open your eyes, okay? So we fly in and we roll into dinner. You can't winnow into this house. So we roll into dinner. And this is when we finally get to meet the inner circle.
The literal best part. The only reason why I will finish these books is because of these people.
Right. It is the...
They're the only worthwhile part. That them and Rhys are the worthwhile part of the series.
Actually, everyone's... Well, what? Okay. So the moral of the story is like the this is the found family trope to end all found family tropes.
Yes.
It is the ultimate
one. It is
one.
A bunch of misfits. Fucking powerful misfits, but misfit nonetheless.
Hot misfits.
Hot, powerful misfits.
They're all hot. Right. Okay, so I'll give you a brief kind of breakdown here. The inner circle. We meet Asriel. Asriel is the resident Shadow Daddy spy master, okay? He's brooding. He's hot. He's quiet. He's misunderstood.
He is the definition of misunderstood.
Right. He's my least favorite.
I respect it's he doesn't have much.
Right.
He doesn't do
correct.
Much. And
okay.
I mean like I again I'm only in the middle of the third one, but like you get to see glimpses.
I mean I love him, but he's my least favorite, okay? So then we have Cassian, mega ultra badass warrior in charge of the army. Also super fucking hot.
Super hot.
Okay. These are Rhys's besties.
Now what are they? Are you going to get into that
yes.
later?
Yes, okay. So we have Mor there, too, who we've already met. That's Rhys's cousin. And then we also have Amarin there, the super scary monster person who looks like a high fae who we still don't know what she is, okay? we find out that they're Illyrians. That's what you were just getting at. They're Illyrians. Now, real, I'll summarize this quickly. Illyrians are like crazy backwards warriors that live in this land that kind of govern themselves. They live outside of society. They have their own structures, their own groups, and they kind of fall into different camps. Rhys's mom, follow along here. Rhys's mom was an Illyrian woman. Spoiler alert, the Illyrians treat their women like dog shit.
Trash. Absolute trash.
They clip their wings so they
can fly. I was going to say, that's the biggest thing about Illyrians is that they're winged. They fly.
But not the women.
No, but I'm saying, like, they're born with the ability to fly.
And they clip all the fucking women's wings. The Illyrians are, overall, not our people we just mentioned here. They're a trash society, okay? Rhys's dad, who was the High Lord of the Night Court, sees his mom, falls in love with her, saves her from her fate as this, in this shitty situation for her where they were going to abuse the shit out of her. Spoiler alert number two, Rhys's dad is also kind of a piece of shit.
Yes.
Okay? So now we have High Lord of the Night Court meets Illyrian beautiful goddess woman. She gets to keep her wings, which is a big deal. Her and Rhys fly together. Okay, so now we have this couple. We have a Night Court lord. We have an Illyrian woman. They make a Rhysand baby. Rhysand baby is not a full Illyrian. He's only a half-breed. And you'll learn that the Illyrians are real into their titles and all of their bullshit. So when he comes of age, which I think is 8... Okay.
Yep.
Mom is like, enough here. Your dad's kind of a piece of shit. We're going to learn the ways. He has all this power. He has all this power that he's born with. He can learn about the power, but she's like, you also need to learn how to fight. We're going to take you to a
training camp.
To a training camp where all these other kids grow up. And you're going to live there and you're going to learn how to fight the Illyrian ways. They are not super satisfied with him because he's technically a quote unquote half breed. And also he could fuck them all up.
Yeah.
All right. So he rolls into the camp. This is where we meet Cassian. Cassian rolls up on him and is like, oh, shiny new thing. I beat the shit out of all the kids here for their clothes. You have shiny new clothes. You got new boots. You got a new shirt. You're going to fight me. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. I'm going to win. And I'm going to take your new stuff. He's a bully. All right. They fight. Cassian beats the shit out of him. Takes all of his stuff. Rhys goes home. Now, Rhys has a house there with his mom. They have a house in the prison, in the war camp grounds. He realizes, though, that poor Cassian, even though he's a bad motherfucker, he lives in the woods, like, in a shitty tent because he's a bastard, and bastards are not tolerated in this backwards, crazy society either. Am I explaining this properly?
No, you're nailing it.
Yeah. So he is like, hey, mom, why does that guy have to sleep outside? And she's like, well, because he's a bastard. And Rhys is like, well, he just beat the shit out of me, but that doesn't seem fair. And goes and pulls him out of the woods, brings him to the house, makes him part of the family. Rhys's mom loves him. And they're this weird little trifecta family. The next year, Asriel comes around. Spoiler alert. Also a bastard. Okay. He's a Shadow Slinger, which is a super rare power.
Yeah.
Do I know what a Shadow Slinger is?
Nope.
Even after reading
You certainly do not. You do not understand shadows. And you know what? I think we just have to accept it.
You know what I understand? They're rare. They're powerful. In Dragon World and Fairy World, rare, they're powerful. So I don't need to know anything. Nothing else matters. So they pull Asriel into their little ragtag family group and take him into. And these three become a powerhouse. And they live in this camp for 20 years.
Yeah. They're there for a long time.
And they're fighting wars and doing their thing. But the problem is, everyone hates them because we have a half-breed and 2 bastards. And they're still beating them.
More powerful than all
of
the
quote-unquote
purebloods.
Right, right. So they have a target on their back. And it's them versus everyone, which you just have to absolutely love. You have to love it.
Yeah.
And They're an unstoppable trio until this war comes, the first war that we've all heard about 5,000 times. And Reese's dad, for whatever reason, I don't fully understand, thinks that these three are so powerful, they're going to use this war to overthrow him, even though they're fighting for him. So Reese's dad separates them all. So they have to fight this war without their brothers, without their friends. They're all on the front lines in different places, like reading the death reports, hoping that they don't see each other's names. Right. Yeah. And it's just a fucking love story. It is a heterosexual love story.
It's the epitome of a bromance.
It is the ultimate. It's deeper than a bromance.
Yeah. It's okay? Like a family. Yeah. They're brothers. It's
deeper than a bromance. So when the time comes and Reese is finally the High Lord, he's like, oh, let me get my boy band back together. And this is how he hobbles together this court. And so he's a half-breed. He's got two bastards, a woman, and I guess Amryn's she identifies as a female, I think, but she's a monster.
Yeah.
So it is a ragtag group, and people are fucking furious.
Yep. They're not thrilled. They are not thrilled with the setup.
So anyone who's not dumb enough to rebel against them, anyone who rebels against them basically dies.
Right.
Anyone who's smart enough to not fully rebel, who just is like pissed off but quiet about it, gets to stay in their court under the mountain. They call it the Court of Nightmares. So this is what everyone in the outside world thinks, that the entire Night Court is the Court of Nightmares.
Right.
It's an underground society. It's under a mountain, which is like Amarantha modeled her bullshit after them.
Yep.
And they kind of get the best of both worlds, the people who live under the mountain, because they're all shitty. They're evil people. But Reese lets them, for the most part, do their own thing as long as they stay underground. And he governs from above ground. And we have the Court of Nightmares and the Court of Dreams.
Yes.
So, that's a synopsis of just kind of the structure. I think I got it all.
Yeah.
Moor escaped the Court of Nightmares. She was born in the Court of Nightmares. You'll learn that. That's his cousin. And she kind of works her way out. And Amryn, what we find out at this dinner too, this is important. Amryn is quote unquote made. Feyre is made, right? Because she was not born a Fae. She was made a Fae. So Amryn is also made. So she kind of tries to have this bonding moment with her. But she's made, but she also escaped from, I'll call it, a super secret, scary demon prison Amryn was in.
Yep.
Yeah, it's prison that knows no time. It sounds like literally the scariest place that's ever been written.
Rocks guard it. There are no actual guards.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, and somehow, no one's, but that you, once you go in, you have a life sentence. There's no coming out of that. Amryn somehow got out of that. She somehow also claimed the human body that she's in
is not hers.
That's not her. She's borrowing it, which is real fucking creepy.
Yeah.
She also can't eat food.
Yeah.
She doesn't eat food. It doesn't come up yet, but spoiler alert.
She drinks only drinks blood.
Yeah. We don't. She's scary.
All in all, she's just scary.
She's real scary, but I like her.
Oh, yeah.
And she lets slip at this dinner that, her and Feyre are not the only maid beings. That there's Miriam, but there's no context about Miriam. It's Miriam's out there. Miriam?
This dinner, they just start throwing stuff out and seeing what sticks,
yeah, it feels like. And the dinner's great, though, because they're just, growing it up, living it up, and Feyre also gives, so they're like, enough about us, what about you? And she gives them a real quick synopsis of her shit life story, and then she's like, I like you guys, I'm gonna work with you. And these people are probably looking around the table like, this was job interview for us. Fuck out of here. We've been the fucking five best friends anyone could have since the beginning of time. You just got here. You have a crush on this bitch and you bring her to interview us? The audacity, the unmitigated gall.
Unmitigated gall.
Yeah, exactly. So, the last known to this delightful little dinner party is like, by the way, Reese is like, I think Highborn's actually going to bring Jurian back. Now, if you'll remember, Jurian was the...
human.
The human traitor. Okay?
Yes.
Amarantha had his eyeball and his finger around her neck.
He was the human in the big war.
Right.
He was the human general.
Right.
That, just a quick synopsis, that used Amarantha's sister.
Right.
To pretend, like, he pretended he was in love with her to use her for information. To get ahead. Right? And then end up killing Amarantha's sister.
Yes. And she kept his finger in his eyeball. And then
Amarantha took her. Took him. Sorry. Right. Amarantha took him.
Right.
Tortured him for, like, an endless amount. Like an ungodly amount of time.
Right.
And then kept his finger and his eye.
The two most important parts of a person.
He was, like, conscious the entire time. It was weird.
Right.
Fucked up.
Right. So he's like, I think, by the way, Hybrid's gonna try to resurrect him, and this is like, me and you, Feyre, since you said yes, we're actually gonna go down to that scary death prison, scariest place that's ever existed in the history of time, and we're just gonna have a quick chat with some guy. Don't be alarmed by his name, it's the Bone Carver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Right.
This is exactly what I signed up for 5 minutes ago. Way to make me sign the contract, then lay it all out for me.
She thought she just found new friends.
Yeah, she thought she found her found family. And like this, life is going to be great.
Yeah, in this entire city that's like Chelsea and Manhattan. Like, yeah, she just thought, like,
yeah.
And it's ooh, all right, Bone Carver. No problem. No big deal.
Cool.
Yeah. They get back to the townhouse, and Reese and Feyre have a little bit of a heart-to-heart, and she just fucking keeps wearing it. This bitch needs to know how this city did not get destroyed. It's eating at her.
Yeah.
It's bothering her. It's making her bitter. Instead of just enjoying it, accepting it, and being happy for these
people,
small population of fucking people that didn't get tortured, she's like, I need to know. What's the price that you paid? And it's like, awkward pause. We all know the price that he paid. He was sexually assaulted for 50
years.
Years. We know it. You know it, Feyre. Why are we having this conversation?
Correct.
Because you're a brat. And you're oddly self-absorbed for someone who's been through a lot of shit.
Yeah, she's been through a lot.
Yeah. So he finally tells her, he's like, listen, when shit went down, anyone who was under the mountain who knew about my friends and this place, I wiped their memory clean. I control alt deleted the shit everything out of their brains. And I took the last tendril of power, because he had, even when she like mitigated everyone's power, he had the most out of everyone left. And he, any scrap that he had, he threw out to like shield this city. So it's like, yeah, motherfucker, this guy lost everything. He lost everyone he loved.
He never thought he was going to see this family he created for himself.
Again.
Ever again.
Right.
And that's a heartbreak.
Right. And he was sexually assaulted for 50 years. Correct. Are you happy now? Do you feel better?
Do you feel better with the answers you've bombarded him for?
Right. Do you feel good, Feyre? Because I feel shitty. And I'm just reading. You
should feel shitty too.
I'm just reading this, okay? So Feyre's like, oh, great chat. I'm going to go to bed. And then she has this weird sex nightmare about Amarantha, which is kind of weird because, like, it was never sexual against her, I don't think, when she was down there that we saw. She's a weird Amarantha sex nightmare. And, spoiler alert, instead of ignoring it, Reese wakes her up and then holds her hair while she pukes her fucking guts out.
Fucking gentlemen.
Now listen, the bar is the floor here.
It's okay? Below the floor. The bar is 6 feet below the floor, okay? Let's be real here.
But you know what? Swoon anyway, all right? He holds her hair back.
I want that for myself? God fucking no. But do I maybe want someone to offer it to me for me to look at them and laugh in their face and be like, if you touch me ever in this situation, I will end you? But knowing that the question was there makes me feel great. Like, is that maybe something I want? Sure. But the actual act, like the follow through, unnecessary.
He holds her hair back.
Yeah.
He rubs her back. He tells her stories about his nightmares, okay? She is living the dream, minus the nightmares and the PTSD and the
post-traumatic stress disorder of her traumatic life. Aside from all that, she's living the dream.
And you know what? Tomorrow, off to the super secret death scariest prison in the whole world. And I feel like that's a good stopping point for today.
Okay. This is a great, great place to stop.
Yeah, we'll stop here for now. I don't know if this is going to meet 2 or 3 episodes. I can't really decide. So we'll find out.
You'll find out when we find out.
Yeah, we'll find out together.
Or I'll cut this
all
out.
As a 17-person crew.
So we are small, but we are mighty. But yeah, all right. Tune in for next week and...
That's it, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, peace out, homies.
All right. Peace out, homies.